Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour today is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only one, who God just touched mightily last night in the midst of the United States, showed a favor, gave him just a miracle last night. I didn't tell you about this. John Ramos.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. God is good. He meets the needs of sane ones. He meets the needs of sane ones. Give a shout out to all of our listeners out there again. Oh, amazed. Wow. All of our Facebook fans around the world. Share it with your friends. Everybody's coming in, getting fed, being encouraged. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/VFNTV, or go to VFNTV.com and check out Pat posing on rocks. And the little one on the right, when you see the little one on the right, right of us, left of you, that is John Ramos. You get a chance to see firsthand. Step up, step up, step up. John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
We're going to be talking more about intercession today, intercessor or intercessor. Also, we're going to be talking about the difference between Sodom and Gomorrah and Chorazim and kind of getting the paradigm shift hopefully today. But also, we're going to be talking about the new defense minister that they're trying to put in today that has a heart, based on his record, not for Israel. Not for Israel. And we need to find out what God's news is behind the news and what to be able to do with that. And if we get a chance to get to it, the blessings of God. Blessed and highly favored. The face of the Lord shine upon you. The favor of God be with you. I say to your mountains, grace, grace, grace to your mountains, to America's mountains, grace, grace, grace. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
When I think about that, he says, listen, I want you to look at that mountain. I want you to go out to it, and I just want you to shout, grace, grace, grace. You know, God's undeserved favor. Listen, God can move in America, third grade awakening, if we'll quit trying to figure out how to fix it and just fall to our knees and scream at America's mountains of what? And go, grace, grace, grace. And all of a sudden, because we're connecting, I guess, God's just going to lavish his grace upon us and pour out a third grade awakening that's going to overtake us and begin to do some really awesome things. If you missed it, you got to go back on the highlights and check out a program where we shared about what God said to us during a seven-day fast, a time of prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord, his voice, and he just spoke intently. And we have some more things we're going to be sharing about that. We're having it all transcribed now. Four hours, and that was just, we just cut it off somewhere, of all the things God said to ministers from all around the United States who got together in a meeting and to be able to share what God said in our time of fasting and seeking him. Listen, God is there. He's just waiting to see if you'll reach out to him, though he's not far from you. Mm. He chose the very place that you will live, the times, the seasons, your very address. He's just waiting to see, will you reach out for him, though he's not far from him? And we did. We did just recently in a seven-day time of fasting and prayer and humility, you know, laying our lives down for just to hear from him. We embraced weakness. Embrace weakness and watch God do some awesome things. I mean, it's just when you fast and pray, you realize, I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be. When I looked in the mirror, I saw that my issue was me. Our flesh just has, it's too loud, it's too noisy.
Yeah.
We keep on trying to satisfy our flesh, you know, and make it feel comfortable or whatever. And he says that counts for nothing. At the same time, my prayer life was about things that count for everything. And I remember once the Lord was speaking and we're in this dilemma and we're looking at the church and things were going on at that time. And the Lord says, I don't mind giving you whatever you need. He says, but the problem is you've went into the buffet of the world and you stuffed yourself in the world. You don't have any room for me.
That's right.
I'm not talking about evil things. I'm talking about just useless space taking, time taking things that you're just so full. It's like, you know, you can have you can be hungry as can be, and you can sit down at a table, and you can have a meal. But then you can be full as can be, and somebody can put your best food, your best dessert in front of you, and nothing inside of you says, you're going to eat it because you're so full.
Right.
That doesn't define what was put in front of you is not good. It defines that you stuffed yourself so much on whatever that was that you had no room for what was put in front of you anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what the church has done quite predominantly in America, is that we just, you know, God's given us things and we made things take over our life and our stuff and you know, that type of thing. And it's time to start setting those things aside. And we find out now if we've made those things gods in our life when we set them aside, and all of a sudden we start going into dry heaves and, you know, DTs and acting out in our flesh.
Proverbs says that, Proverbs 27:10, he that is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. That's just it. It's just the plates are just full and full and full and full and full. And it's like, there's no even room for God. There's no room for God.
God is so good, you know. He's so good at that. You know, I got a great wife who is good at shopping and all that. But I open my refrigerator. You got to get this. Mm-hmm. And there's food in there.
Man, that's something amazing.
And it's like different kinds of food. Mm. Different kinds of food. And then you go to store, the grocery store, which I try not to do too much. Cause believe it or not, it's pretty busy. And why? And... But you look and it's like, we're so blessed in America. We have so much stuff and things, and they got like 55 gallon drums of like macaroni and cheese and stuff. It's like, what are you going to do with that? And I just look and I think, I'm almost in tears thinking, God, I mean, especially go to Sam's or
Costco.
And you're looking and you're just like straight up like a mountain of blessing, a mountain of stuff and things and food and trinkets and vegetables. And it's just amazing. Wow. And you're thinking, God, you're just so good to us. You know, they call us the breadbasket of the world, and we're growing so much that we're taking some of it and sticking it in our gas tanks. We have so much food, we decided to throw it in the furnace of our cars and burn it for gas, which you know, I have an opinion about that when people are starving, don't burn it for your gas.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in their bellies and let them burn it for energy. Lord, forgive us. But in the context of that, it's just, you know, wow. Yeah. How can we say, God bless America? How can we say... We should say, God, thank you for blessing America.
Absolutely.
Thank you for blessing America.
Yeah.
If the poorest person in America is richer than 85% of the world, and know that less than 5% of the world's population is in America, so that's a huge number.
Huge.
Like 7 billion people now, they say. That our poorest is richer than 85%.
Mm.
Lord, you've blessed us so much. We're so blessed. And Lord, forgive us for not being grateful. Forgive us for starting our prayers like give me and stuff and things and whining and complaining when we just should have spent the entire time with you of just going, thank you. We should enter your gates with thanksgiving and just go, thank you. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for how you've blessed me. And Lord, help me not to waste the blessing. I remember years ago when I was growing in the Lord and the Lord's revealing himself to me, and I'm still growing in the Lord, but in the knowledge of the Lord, that the telephone rang or something like that, and I think I was a deputy back then, and I reached over and the phone had ring, and I was laying in bed that morning, and I reached, because I was on the other side of the bed, so I reached over to grab the phone, and the voice of the Lord came to me, and he says, you live like a king.
Hmm.
That Americans live like kings.
Wow.
They live like kings. We live like kings in America. Think about it. And I have a basic type home. It's not some palace and stuff you see with some things going on, but just the fact that you have a phone, the fact that you had a mattress and a bed and you had covers and that when you could reach over and actually a phone would ring and you could pick it up and talk to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you had a house that your bed was in or an apartment that your bed is in. He said that we live like kings.
Yeah.
And if you understand, if you haven't listened to Josiah on VFN TV or watched it, we're going to be held accountable for that, because we are in America. This is a government by and for the people. We are Josiah.
Yeah.
You know, we're the ones that kind of look around and see what's happening in our nation, and we decide before the Lord, based on his word, you know, is it right or wrong? And then we make edicts. We begin to make decisions that when we need new leaders or present leaders, we need to keep them. Is going to run this country the way God would want it run, because it is a government by and for the people. And the sad thing about it, now we're actually looking to the people we hired to fix it, when they actually should have been looking to us for directions and instructions what to do.
Mm.
And because you know, that we've asked so long, they just said, just quit, you know, just quit turning to them. We're just going to go ahead and take it by the horn, and we're going to do this thing. Huh. We're going to transform this thing. And when you go read the Declaration of Independence, when you read the United States Constitution, when you see these 530 some odd people, that's all they are, and we have 300 something million people in America, so right. how can you blame everything on 530 something people that you hired to go and represent you and to get staffs around them and do those different things? And it's like, my goodness, you need to listen to Josiah, because it will empower you. It'll put the fear of God in you, realizing, oh my goodness, I've been looking at everybody else. I've been looking at the political parties. I've been looking everywhere else, but I should have been doing something. Mm. And when you read about Josiah, you know, Josiah was a king that he was totally wrong until he was right. But when he was right, God said he was the most awesome king that ever lived. So it's not like that we've made so many mistakes and done so many things wrong that we can't be redeemed. And God redeemed Josiah when he found out what the truth was, when he got into the Word of God. And right now, you know, the American church is just like Israel at that time, because the Word of God was hidden. Nobody could get to the Word of God. And Josiah was in his 20s when he sent somebody to go clean out the temple. And in the temple is when they found, quote, the Bible, unquote, that kind of, and he found the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And up until that point, they had no Word. Mm. And that's the way it is right now, according to George Barnett. 82% of the church has no Word. Has no Word. They're not in the Word. Mm-hmm. But realize, the moment you get in the Word, you can be like Josiah. Because once he had the secretary read to him the Word, he was like, oh my goodness, we are wrong. So it's not until you get in the truth of God do you find out if you're living a lie before God. And so a lot of people avoid the Word of God and just tell themselves that I'm living right before God. But the thing about it is, you're going to answer at the judgment seat of Christ forever how you lived your life. If you chose not to know the ways of God and claim to know them, you'll find out at the throne. But then again, you can begin to read the Word and find out, you know what, I'm going to repent. And immediately Josiah, when he got the Word of God, when he broke the statistics of George Barna, if you would, and said, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to read it and ask God to speak to me. And if something in my life is not right, I'm going to repent. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And he had, not only did he repent, he had everybody repent. He started, because he's the king. He could actually say, you know, tear down this high place, destroy this Asherah pole, tear down that Baal stuff, tear down these idols. And we in America, we're just like that. We're actually, it's a government by and for the people. This whole thing in America is you are a king. I mean, you can actually vote. That's what happened. The reason why these 530 elected officials got into office in Washington, D.C. is because we elected them. They're not our fault. We're their fault. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the king. Maybe we just kind of gave up our duties and just said, whatever. Maybe they'll get something for me. Instead of saying, God's going to hold me accountable for who I put there. And so Josiah can make these huge decisions. And you can hear, you can go to VFNTV and watch this. It is a now word for America, and it will empower you. Because we as Americans, that we have a vote, you know, we have a constitutional right to vote. We have a constitutional right to be able to petition the government, because they're working for us. We're not working for them. Mm-hmm. And we can sit down with them no matter how they act. And believe me, you'd be surprised sometimes, like, oh, let me go back and read my constitution again. Maybe I misread that or something. and God knows that. So if we bury our heads in the sand of denial and to say, well, God's not going to hold me accountable for this, realize what happened after Josiah was, when Josiah, who did what was right, then God says, you know, you're the best king that's ever lived, past or present. Mm-hmm. And he held back what he was going to do to Israel. But as soon as he passed, this is your life. You can change. You can be a Josiah in America. You can be a Josiah in America. You can rise up and say, you know what? We're going to do what is right. We're accountable before God. This is a government by the people, for the people. I am responsible for my vote. I'm going to educate myself. I'm going to pray. I'm going to abide with God. And I'm going to begin to pull a lever for people who have the integrity, who will do what's right according to our founding fathers and before God. And maybe God will just, you know, turn our generation and spare America. But as soon as Josiah died, you know, his son didn't walk like he walked. He didn't care what God had said.
Right.
And immediately he went and made a pact with Egypt. And even Egypt changed his name. They changed his name to Jehoiakim. So Egypt named the leader over God's people. Well, guess what? Our president's first speech, international speech, was in Egypt at Cairo University. And I believe that President Obama is God's set man. There's no way that any man's political scheming or ideas or could have done all this. This is just God.
Yeah.
Right.
And God's set man to begin to humble America. And when Jehoiakim got in there, he began to tax and tax and tax and tax and take and tax and take and tax and take to be able to pay Egypt. And so at that point, high taxes came in and the loss of things and stuff. And right now, but since God's people are not in the Word, they haven't been Josiah to read the Word and find what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to solve things through their own carnal nature, through mm-hmm. human wisdom, not realizing that we got to get in the Word and repent. And God will say, maybe you're the most awesome American citizen that ever lived, and that God turns it because you actually did what was right. And so here it is. The world is naming the leader over God's people. And the fact that he spoke there and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to take over Egypt, and now Egyptian people are just freaking out over it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in great turmoil. He's supplying money. He's supplying weapons. And they're openly wanting to destroy Israel. That realize this, who came after Jehoiakim. Let me tell you who came after Jehoiakim. His name meant, and he was also named by the world, God is just.
Mm.
And realize, if we get what we deserve, it's not going to be good.
No.
It's not going to be good. And but yet, you're now on this side of history, you can be Josiah. You can be Josiah and say, wait a minute, what does God's word say? Just let me have it. Just tell me like it. Well, just let me have it. Whatever. What does it say? And immediately, those that you have influence over, you begin to say, you know, this is how we're living our marriage. This is how we're living our family. This is how we were doing our workplace. This is how we were operating in the context of our church family. But that is over today.
Mm.
We are going to serve God. Does it mean that they're going to follow? No. But it means that God's going to honor you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to look and see who's leading your country, your state, your commission, your sheriff, your city council, your school boards, and all these different people that you're, Josiah, are supposed to choose, because you are, America is full of kings. If you're a citizen in America, you're like a king.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a chance to vote. You get one vote. And before God, you know, you want to pull that vote for God, for what's right. And guess what? No matter ever how anybody else votes, God saw you pull that vote. He saw you pull that lever and you know, step out and begin to share why you're supporting a particular situation, and get other people to go out and meet people, and maybe they want to run for office. I don't know. But just get involved in choosing our leaders, because we're the ones that choose our leaders. We want to know the values they have. What values do they have? Do they value our founding fathers? Do they value the Declaration of Independence? Do they value the United States Constitution? Do they value the Bill of Rights? Do they value these things? And it's okay. Just find out. And if they do, you know, you vote for them and hold their feet to the fire in regards to saying, you know, this is what you said you're going to do.
Mm.
And now you need to stick to your guns, despite what they tried to get you to change when you went to D.C. And it's just amazing that when you, I encourage you, go to VFN TV at VFNTV.com and watch Josiah, for we are Josiah in America. Vine Fellowship Network University. It is amazing when you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening. And it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. And it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be. But it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path, depending on your time, and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God, maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city, but I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out, vfnu.org, vfnu.org. Man, it's this technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store mm-hmm. for Android phones. So they right. can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can mm-hmm. download the VFN TV app, right? Mm-hmm. And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right mm-hmm. there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you, and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives. For example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or mm-hmm. you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right.
you know, and the perspective of things going on, and that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device mm-hmm. and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately mm-hmm. Within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat and John.
Hello, hello. Well, you know it's time for the VFN Torch Top 3. It is that time. I want to share with you today the number one segment for today we want to share is you can't Google God. Okay? You just can't do it. This is a moment of wisdom we shared out of Proverbs 25:2. That is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but to search out a matter is the glory of kings. And you know, there's so many, you know, it's part of our culture now that everyone quickly runs to Google when you have a question. They want to search something out.
So the tree, it's like the tree of knowledge and
yeah,
good things and not good things.
Not good things. Mm-hmm. Not good things. And we're not going to figure God out on Google. We're not going to figure God out in just a book. We're gonna learn to experience God when we spend time with God, when we abide in His Word, when we take the time out to search Him with our whole heart. You don't want to cut and paste revelation from God. You want an opportunity to spend time with Him. And so that He can begin to download and share with you. Yeah, and Jeremiah 29:13 is a wonderful promise to those that belong to the Lord. I'm telling you, if you're a child of God today, Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart."
All of it.
All of it. You know, it reminds me of when we talked about forgiveness. He says, when you forgive with from your heart. You know what I'm saying? There's no half searching. There is no half going after God. You know, God's not going to kind of just put everything out there on a whim for you. These are treasured, wonderful revelations and treasures that God has for us. But we need to begin to delve into the things of God. You know, spend time with the Lord, and as we spend time with Him, He begins to reveal these wonderful treasures and revelations that He has for us. Let me tell you, it's a promise for us. I just want to encourage and remind you: you can't Google God, but you can sure spend time with Him, love Him, and receive of His love. So it's a wonderful, wonderful promise for you. The second highlight I want to share with you is, what sentence are you serving?
Wow.
That was a goodie. Yes. that was a goodie. Because we're talking about mindsets, strongholds,
subject-verb agreement.
Yes. You know, things that have crept into our nation, crept into our mind, and think about it, they've affected the thought life in so many areas. You know, and oftentimes people are serving a sentence. Yeah, they may not be serving a sentence in jail or in prison, but they're serving a sentence in their mind, a literal sentence that has them bound, has them locked up because they just believe the lie. I mean, some of these sentences are so harmful that they're calling, you know, good bad, and they're calling bad good. And, you know, we've talked about how it only takes 10% of people to change the direction of a nation.
Yeah, you know, population, right? 10% of population, that's exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, 10% of population. So if 10% have a warped mindset, a mindset or a sentence that they're serving that totally contradicts God's word, that means they can actually turn a nation into false things.
Right.
But the same is true. The same is true if just 10% of the population is grounded in serving the right sentence, which is the truth of the word of God, we can change an entire nation. We can, but there is a battlefield, a warfare, if you will, that occurs in mind. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 says that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. I mean, we do fight and we do have weapons, but they're not of this world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every pretension, every ideology, every sentence that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. If it comes against the knowledge of God, we want to take it down, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You know, and an analogy the Lord gave me one time is like, sometimes we're serving some stinking thinking, and sometimes you may get attacked with a thought that's traveling through your mind. Think of it as a conveyor belt, and you have a choice whether you're going to pick up that thought, you're going to look at it, you're going to believe on it, you're going to meditate on it, or you're going to take that thought and just snatch it down. You're going to take it captive and pull it off of that conveyor belt, because you don't want to serve the wrong sentence. And as believers, we can be renewed in our mind. We can be renewed in our mind by demolishing all these ideologies, all of these arguments that try to come against the knowledge and the truth of God's word. And so I want to encourage you today, you don't have to serve a sentence right the rest of your life.
I mean, think of some of the examples of the sentences, like, you know, nothing ever works out for me.
Yeah.
I'll never find anybody to marry. My business will never work. God will never use me. I'll never be healed. I'm stupid. I'm not smart enough. These are sentences that people are serving. What are you doing? Oh, I'm serving 5 to 10 years on I'm stupid.
Right.
I like what that little kid said, you know.
How's that going?
If you got a dream and it's stupid, get another one. That was beautiful.
Yeah. We can cry about it or you can dance about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on now.
Yeah.
It's time to change the sentence.
Yes.
You know, I like to say it's time to change the channel. You're stuck on the same channel, watching the same horrible stuff that's going on in your mind with this sentence. Pick up that remote and change the channel.
Right.
So whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are excellent, think on these things. So you don't have to serve that sentence anymore. Right. You can be free in God and you can fight the good fight of faith.
Totally awesome.
So the wisdom moment for today in scripture is in Proverbs 1:7. In fact, the word says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Yep.
Wow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You know what? Knowledge without the fear of the Lord is not a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's like, that is dangerous, you know, because we know, and the Bible tells us, that knowledge puffs up, right?
All right, all right.
And, you know, knowledge without a healthy fear is like, dude, that's not going to work out for you, you know, because you can get puffed up with pride. And you're setting yourself up for a huge fall, because it's not about just gathering knowledge and getting, you know, information. Even when we're reading God's word, we're really reading for revelation. You know, we're reading, and ultimately we want the manifestation of whatever God revealed to us. We want it to be manifested in our lives, right? So it's not about gathering information, whether it be worldly knowledge or biblical knowledge, but it's about, you know, having a healthy fear of the Lord.
Right.
And you know you have a healthy fear of the Lord, Pat, when you have treasured the words out of his mouth more than your daily bread. You know what I'm saying?
Sounds
right. A man shall not live by bread alone.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But by every word right. that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we need a healthy fear of the Lord. I don't know. I mean, yes. someone asked, you know, well, how much fear of the Lord do you need? I'm still growing. I still need more. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Do you ever have enough?
Never.
I mean, you never have enough. I haven't got to that point yet, but I don't think you ever have enough. And so we want to think about that. We want to understand that, Pat, God's eyes are always on us. You know, Proverbs 15 says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch over the wicked and the good. I mean, that alone, hello.
That's right.
I mean, helps us out, right? You know, his eyes.
Yes, are always on us.
Are always on us.
That's right.
So we have a little help with the fear of the Lord, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We have a little.
Oh, yeah. If we don't forget, right?
Yeah, if we don't forget, you know, maybe we got, you know, put some eyes on our hands or something. I don't know. No, we just got to remember that, you know, God's watching.
That's right.
And if you're a believer, he's in you. So, I mean, he's there. He's present, you know.
Yeah,
you,
he's
you,
constantly you, talking.
You didn't leave him back home. You know what I mean? You know, he's there with you. And so the healthy fear of the Lord, Pat, also helps us to really, you know, be in check. Help us to be rightly related with God. It helps us to really understand that, you know, he's God. Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, and I can't live a life independent of his word, of what he says, of what his expectations are. Mm-hmm. Pat, he's God. He's God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's his way, you know, it's his will, you know.
That's right.
And we're just happy to be here, right?
Amen.
But he's a good God, you know, and healthy fear of the Lord is not, you know, we're not gnawing at our fingers and we're not, you know, knees knocking, although, you know, God can show up and that could happen, you know.
That's right.
You know,
all your faith.
You know, think about it. I mean, when men in the Bible have seen angels, what happens? I mean, angels,
they
fall to the ground, dude, and they're like, get up, get up, get up. If that, what happens when you see angels, created beings, hello, I can only imagine, maybe not, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, oh my goodness,
yeah,
to be in his presence, you know, and to have that awe, you know, that reverential awe of God. We need that, Pat.
Yeah,
we so desperately need that. You know, I'm reminded of, you know, desperate for his glory. You know, when just shared that just the other day, Greg, that it was awesome. I know that I'm leaking a little bit, but I know that was highlighted there on the VFN torch there. But what an awesome, just to be desperate for God, desperate for his glory. And when you approach his glory, you better have a healthy fear of the Lord. May not work out good for you. So with that, Pat, you know, it says it's the beginning of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 1, you know, verse 1, chapter 1 of Proverbs, it really begins to tell us, you know, what Proverbs is all about. Okay? It says, Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And Proverbs is for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. It's for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. I mean, these are expected. God wants us to grow in wisdom. These are healthy, normal expectations. You know, verse 4, for giving prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. You know, when I think about the simple and the young, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so God is wanting us to grow in the fear of the Lord and in wisdom and in knowledge in its proper context, in its proper relation. And verse 6 says, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm amazed as I've been reading Proverbs for many years. And I encourage you, you know, you want to be in the book of Proverbs.
Yes.
I mean, there's one chapter. It appears it worked out just this way, but there's a chapter.
I think it might have been a plan.
Yeah, I don't know, but it sounds good to me.
Yeah.
That there's one for each day, you know, and you can listen to this on your the scriptures on the phone maybe or on the mm-hmm. computer, but let you know, Greg often says, you know, let it wash over you. Let this wisdom grow in you. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people, Pat, that have knowledge.
That's right.
You know, and how many times have you seen this, you know, and we can't be naive, church, but how many times have you seen someone because they're a doctor or here's an attorney, here's a lawyer, and granted, these people are smart in their profession and they're a doctor. They know how to work on bodies, you know,
right.
or they're an attorney and they are very smart about the law. But when we start attributing wisdom and start seeking, you know, biblical guidance, you know, mm-hmm. God's guidance
right.
from someone just because we think they're intelligent, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they're wise. No, wisdom is a proper application of knowledge.
That's right.
You know, you have to have sound judgment. When you read the book of Proverbs, you notice that there's a constant contrast between a man who is foolish and a man who is wise.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, here's what fools do. Here's what a wise man does. Here's what a fool does. Says, this is what a wise man says. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. God, are you trying to tell me something? You know, I'm like, okay, I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. What does your word say, God? You know,
right.
Because he's very clear. He says, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Think about that. Despise. It means like, to distaste, to disgust, or disdain. And there comes a period in a person's life, and I mentioned this earlier, it's like, you know, it's time to put childish or foolish ways that God wants us to grow in wisdom, in prudence, so that we can begin to govern our lives accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
That we just don't make decisions just to make decisions, or we seek the Lord. See, that would be wise. You know, so, mm-hmm. you know, what's wisdom? You know, if you got to make a decision, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
You don't fly off the head and make one. You don't take advice from someone who's not abiding. You know, if they're not reading the word of God, if they're not spending time with God daily, mm-hmm. what are they going to tell you in relation
That's
to
right.
God?
That's right.
In relation to how God feels about this particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to be a fool. You know, the Bible says that, you know, a fool says in his heart that there is no God, you know, and a fool doesn't appreciate the ways of God.
Right.
And if we don't have a healthy fear of the Lord, we are going to, you know, suffer greatly, I believe.
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
And I think that even our nation is starting to see that even now, you know, and even some parts of the church. And so, you know, today's wisdom moment and today's word is found in Proverbs 1:7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. We'll be right back.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN-TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over 1 billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person to see. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. John,
yes.
I was invited to come, you know, speak at a particular place at this gathering. And I'm there. I'm going to begin speaking, but I wanted to be able to kind of, you know, say something funny.
at first. And so I was telling him about this particular man, and I'll just tell them, this is how I did it. This is what I said. So I kind of changed my voice, and this is a real kind of goofy dude, you know, and he's talking, he goes, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, by the way. And I'm talking to them. It says, I was in this place the other day, and was in this particular state, and they were talking, you know, about regions, you know, in the country, and you know, they're you know, called them like stupid people, you know. And I just thought that is just not right, because you shouldn't call you know, just certain regions, you know, of the country just stupid people. And I just said it wasn't right. So when I got home, you know, I was in my house, and then I decided to go in the backyard, you know, and I wanted to be out, look for some stupid people in my backyard, right? And I locked myself out my house. And, you know, I'm trying to get back in. I can't get back in. So I go up the front door, and I'm knocking on the front door. And as I'm trying to, you know, get into the front door, nobody's in the house, and I can't get in. And the police show up. And they say, freeze! And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Put your hands. I held my hands up, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for stupid people. And they just looked right at me with shock. I don't know if I ever told you about this time. You know, we mentioned it the other day, and I want to mention it today. I was sent to this call. You know, I used to be a deputy, a law enforcement officer, and I was sent to this call. And the call was, there was this house that was in probate, and nobody was living there, mm-hmm. and they were waiting for it to go through a process or something. And they said that they thought they heard somebody was in the house. There was no power in the house or anything like that. And so they, for some reason, they sent me out there. Right? It's like, that's scary. You know, like, oh, no, you're the deputy. You're supposed to go
right,
there.
Right. Police.
You're the police.
Every time there was a problem, they always sent me. I don't know what that was. Anyway, so and so here we go. I'm going to this place, and it seems like an older house there. And it's kind of, it looks, it's all dark. It's at nighttime. And mm-hmm. And I'm standing on the front porch, and you know, and I felt the front door is cracked. It's open. I'm like, oh my goodness, well, somebody could be in this thing. So I didn't shine my light at first. You know, I kind of kept my light down, mm-hmm. so I can kind of walk into this house to be able to you know, surprise them, so them surprising me.
Right.
And so I got in there, and I turned on my flashlight. You have to understand, my flashlight at that time was something they use now, I think, for x-rays. I mean, if you thought might have a broken bone, you could put that behind them and look on the other side. You can see if any bone is fractured. It was bright. It was so bright that it almost caught my car seat on fire and my cruiser once. It was just such a bright light. So anyway, so I come in there, and all of a sudden, y'all wanted to surprise me. Like, bam, turn my light on, right? And when I turn my light on, cockroaches, man. Cockroaches like 2 inches, 3 inches, 6 foot wingspread. I mean, these things were huge. And there was just hundreds of them. And they just flew right to me like I was Velcro and went, you know, and I had a short sleeve shirt on, man.
Oh, no.
And they have like pointy, like needle legs and stuff. And thanks.
That's like your best friends, right?
It's not time to talk about your phobia. And you know, and so, you know, I'm covered in roaches. In roaches. And I'm supposed to be the calm, cool police. I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah. You are the police.
I was police. And so I was terrible. Oh my goodness, you know. And so you don't know whether somebody's in there with a gun. You don't know what's going on. You got roaches crawling up your pants legs and in your sleeves, in your ears. You know what I'm saying? This is horrific.
You're the police.
And listen, for people, our listeners that are not living in the southern parts of America, you haven't seen a roach. Do you see one down south?
No doubt.
It's as big. It's like a big, huge bay leaf or bigger.
It's like an airplane.
It really is. The wingspread will blow you away. And so needless to say, I felt inside of me there was a need that I needed to expedite my search of this house and get out of this house.
And escape.
I went to the house so fast. And what happened was transients, I guess, would come in there, kids or whoever, and they were sleeping on the floor on a mattress in that.
Mm. Oh,
but
wow.
There was open peanut butter jars and all that. And roaches were just everywhere.
Ugh.
Oh, my
goodness, man. I ran out of there, and they're crawling up your you know, your short sleeve shirts. They're going right up your arms and down the back of your neck and stuff. And, oh, it was just horrific. I'm glad I didn't shoot the place up. It wouldn't have done no good.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I can imagine it. And so, oh, that, no. Yeah, and so.
That was another time.
I ran out of there, obviously, in a real cool way. And I didn't know. I didn't know whether. Well, you're thinking like I didn't know where I wanted to get in my cruiser because I know they're gonna have roaches in my cruiser, right? Because they're all over me, and so I'm shaking clothes out, doing all kinds of stuff.
Search yourself. All right.
I was getting them out. And that was horrific. That was horrific. You know. And I remember when I was young, when I first got my understanding of roaches, and maybe Chris has a story here. It looks like he has one.
Oh.
That I was five, and Dad had this walking cane. He got this cane from the insurance company. It's like an insurance company gives you a cane. I never thought about that. Not a good thing if you think about it, spiritually speaking. It's like, what are you trying to tell me? Anyway, mm-hmm. You gave me all these awards. You did really real good insurance. Mm-hmm. And so having this long cane that was curled or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this, they had built onto the house, closed in a garage. Mm-hmm. And there was this, you know, during those days, paneling was the thing.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what happened, but paneling was a thing. And there was this cockroach that got in there on the wall in the back of this room, you know. And so I was like, because I was confident. It crawls around and stuff like that, you know. And it was to me, I mean, you know, 5 years old, it looked like it was probably about, you know, 2 inches long and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And so I had that cane, you know, and, you know, 5 year olds, you know, we're like, you know, trying to see if frog legs stay on when you pull on them. And
very intelligent, right?
The fly wings come off. Can you fly with one wing? Different things that kids do. And so I'm poking at this cockroach. I'm poking at this cockroach, you know, for all the PETA listeners out there. So I'm poking at this thing, thinking, hey, you know, I'm bigger than you, and I'm poking this cane. But I didn't realize my knowledge and my wisdom has not yet expanded to all the things that these big, huge Southern Florida roaches can do. And all of a sudden, this crawling roach that was on this paneling wall decided, okay, I'm not going to crawl anymore. I'm going to spread my 6-foot wingspread. I'm going to fly over to whoever's holding this cane, and I'm going to land on his shoulder. Oh, my gosh. You're talking about squealing. Oh, this 5-year-old squealed and ran the whole length of that place. Oh, my goodness. I want to encourage you. Pest control is from the Lord. From the Lord. You look at a phobia. You like them?
Oh, roaches. I mean, we don't get along.
You know.
I've got a similar story of being attacked by a roach.
You got attacked too, huh?
Oh, wow. Man. But I was, like, you know, probably
16?
Like 25?
Actually, I was older. I was about 26, really. No, I was, you know, growing up as a kid.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Growing up as a kid, you know, we would go to our grandmother's house, you know, all the time, and she had a really bad...
Yeah.
Roach problem.
Lots of oak trees.
And so
they live under
edit
oak trees.
Edit that.
Anyway.
So yeah, at night, you know, I was always afraid of a cockroach crawling into my ear, up my nose, in my mouth, you know, because they were they were everywhere.
Oh, and my goodness.
You were for the mission field. You're going to go to the mission field. You're right.
And so, you know, later on in life.
Instead, he got hairballs.
I was, you know, later on when I was living in the house, there was one particular night where there was a cockroach in the kitchen, and it was this biggest cockroach I'd ever seen. Like you said, it was 2-3 feet long, and
did it have a saddle?
Oh, yeah. And I went to swat this thing, and it flew off. I mean, it came like right towards my face.
Were you smoking your Bible about that time? This might not have actually happened. We don't know, right?
Could have hallucinated it.
Yeah. And so I ducked this cockroach, and it lands on top of this shelf. And so I just, So I turn around, I'm going towards this roach to swat it, and this thing stands up on its hind legs.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious. This thing stood up and just flew at me again. And I screamed.
It flipped me again.
And I screamed like a little banshee.
It flipped him. It flipped a 26-year-old man. It's cockroach flipped him.
No, wow. Flew at me.
Oh, flew at you. At least no. It flipped him.
Wow. That's a big roach, bro.
It could have been like this, too. I don't know.
It was a big roach.
Yeah, right. On drugs. No.
But that was, yeah.
That's and then it spoke to you, right?
No, it didn't speak. I spoke. I screamed. Yeah, like a little girl.
Well, okay. This is the last cockroach segment. You know, and you know, there's just different things. You know, I've been to Jersey and seen some stuff. Been to New York, and I saw that. I said, "Oh, what's that? A dog?" They go, "No, that's a rat." That's a rat. And so I was in a hospital. I was in a hospital because somebody was there in the hospital, and I wanted to stay the night. They don't design hospital furniture for you to be there. I mean, they have psychologist designing furniture to just poke you in a certain way that you'll go home mm-hmm. and not stay in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they mopped their carpets. They mopped their carpets in the hospital. And so anyway, so there was a coffee pot and there was like this waiting room, whatever, down from the room that I was staying there. And just staying there. Actually, it was Donna's mom that we were there. And I just wanted to stay close to Donna and her mother. And I said, well, I'm just going to stay here in this waiting room and kind of somehow lay between on the arms or something. You know, it's just really uh-huh. tough to do. And I'm laying there wide awake with an armrest in my back. Mm-hmm. And I look at the coffee pot. And over the coffee pot, this is in a hospital. Mm. You know, it's in a hospital. I look up, and there's one of these huge roaches that he's talking about. I'm over the coffee. I'm like, you know me. I don't have like 30 cups of coffee.
Oh, no.
I'm like, ugh. And so I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, you know, because we're in this daze because we've been awake for like, you know, weeks. And it seems like, and... So I'm thinking, you know, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at it. And all of a sudden, and what Chris said reminded me of it. This, you're thinking, you know, you think you know how things happen, you know, and you're looking at it and you're in and out and what's going on. It's like, you know, as long as it stays way over there, I will not have coffee again ever anywhere in the vicinity of this place.
Oh, my gosh.
And then. It literally bows up. It leans back. It leans back now. It's on the wall, so it's on a wall. Its feet are touching the wall. Its back feet, because it had a whole bunch of them. And then its front feet came off. You got to get this. You got to get this now. And then it took its neck and its head and looked around the room. It looked around the room.
Oh, my God.
I levitated off that seat, man. I'm like, boom, I am out of here. I am going home. Lord, we'll just trust this thing with
goodness.
That. It looked around the room. It looked at me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. What's happening? Roaches are mutating. What are we doing? What is this coming from? So, it's pretty amazing, these big bay meadow type bugs, they call them. But palmetto bugs. And
well,
those are big.
Okay. We haven't had Jersey
oh, really?
Roach yet.
Are you serious?
Jersey roach yet. Now they're not as big, but this maybe this would be
those
the
are
last
called
one.
Ants.
Maybe this,
these are ants.
Maybe this would be the last roach ants. Story. Okay. I remember my parents, this is when I was younger, maybe about 5-6 years old. Maybe not older than that. I don't know. Just young kid at the time.
How tall were you then?
I don't know. They're probably almost the same size now. But but
you got that tricycle.
Well, this beautiful couple actually that led my parents to the Lord. They actually were come visiting my parents at the house for dinner. Oh, okay, no. You got
to
get this.
Of all the times for you to come out, Roach.
So you know this is a wonderful.
If your mother's
couple,
listening, she's so, dying right yeah. now. You're saying this. No,
my mom is a spotless person. When you live in an apartment building, if your neighbors got roaches, no matter, you're going to have roaches. They leave one apartment, come to the next. But she's kind of, she's spot, still is a spotless type person. And
cleaning, you know, doing her thing. And so this couple is there, and I remember the this couple were so nice. It was just so proper. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, just, you know, they actually came to our apartment and they're eating dinner with us. And it was a huge deal. So I get up, you know how your act is like trying to be on my best behavior, and I'm picking up plates.
That
and
had
doing
to be hard. Huh? That had to be hard for you.
Oh my goodness, very hard. So I'm, you know, doing my thing. And all of a sudden, I see this woman talking to my parents. And I see this roach on the back of her neck.
Oh, no. Wait. Where is it?
On the back of her neck.
Oh, my goodness. Did she bring it with her?
So I'm a kid. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. There's a roach on her neck.
Oh, no. Your mom. No, your mom was like, thank you, John Paul. Thank you.
If you could have seen their eyes. And she's getting up and she's patting her back and running around. It was hilarious. I'm sure my mom doesn't even remember that story, but it was hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Awesome friends, and they knew it for many years. But it was, that was something else, man. That was something else.
Can you imagine? She probably went home and thought, well, we're just in the mission field, honey.
We're just reaching out to them. We're just trying to be nice to these people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. I remember. Do you remember the time that we were, you know, taking all these mentors and the fatherless and whatever out to the wilderness, and we were raising money? You remember that? I don't know if I have time to talk about this. I might not have time to talk about it. And one of us came up with a, it might have been me, came up with an idea that said, you know, we need to have a raffle. And, you know, we'll raffle off something that, you know, something that Americans might like, a TV.
Wasn't that John's idea?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was John's. I'm sure it was John's. Mute his mic. It was John's.
Yeah.
And I said, but listen, if we're going to do this, John, I said, if we're going to do this, this is a raffle. It is not a lottery. You know, it is not a lottery. And I said, then I say over and over, this is not a lottery. This is, we're just going to, you know, a dollar for a ticket or whatever. You get a chance to win a big screen TV or something like that we had. Mm-hmm. And in that, here we were on TV. We were on TV. And I sat there and they said, well, tell us what's going on. And I said, well, we're having a lottery. I mean, God had me eat so much crow. A lottery. I said, we're having a lottery. That is so funny, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, it was just.
How many shades of color did you turn?
I was dumbfounded, you know, and obviously God was dealing with me about, you know, it's a shame that you have to go to a raffle to do what the church should have done all along. Remember that? Because we were paying for our entire community to come to God. In the concept of going into the wilderness and responding to the prophetic word. But that was hilarious. I'm like, this is not a lottery. And here I was on TV. What did I say? We're doing a lottery. He's like, chocolate. Yeah. Do you want to believe this?
Yeah. Tell me.
His beautiful, beautiful daughter, Jordan Sky, was visiting. And, it took a long time. You know, Pat, I mean, everything that Pat over the years had told me, he was made in front of me about. Everything.
Don't make fun
of you.
Dude, you just, I mean, we don't have the airtime for that. We don't have the airtime for it. You know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
Come on. That means you really did this wrong. So I said, Jordan, would you like some chocolate? I like dark chocolate. I like that chocolate. It's like, almost dirt.
Black.
Like 92% dirt. No, like 72, something like that. I don't know something. I mean, if you get too high, it is like dirt. But anyway, so I had this dark chocolate. I mean, it's a candy bar, dude. It's a candy bar. You know what I'm saying? And I break off a piece of this candy bar, and I give it to Jordan, and she puts it in her mouth. And the first thing she says, dude, she says, this tastes like coffee.
That's my girl.
I'm thinking, where did that come from? How could you think that chocolate tastes like coffee?
It does.
Until I realized that I saw a big foo-foo truck backing up to Pat's house with chocolate creamery going into his back house, you know, loading it into his refrigerator.
I have eaten that. I do not use foo-foo anymore.
He has a dropper.
He's powdered foo-foo.
Yeah. He's got like a dropper, like a syringe of coffee, like one cc of coffee and 4 gallons of chocolate.
He has an IV of it.
It's like totally amazing. Just chocolate alone will wire you. Just eat the chocolate. Forget about the coffee, man. It'll wire you.
I guess. By the way, speaking of Jordan, you know it's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Jordan.
Enjoy the coffee.
Yeah.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.